Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It's an Academy Sports and Outdoors Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from Walk-On Sports Bistro and Katy, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in on a Football Friday as we are live at Walk-On's here in Katy. Come on out. I know as we're getting closer and closer, we're getting to the weekend. This is a great spot to come and make your way. I saw Clint just polish off a little gumbo.
Would you get them?
Gator bites?
A little gumbo and gator.
There you go.
Yeah.
So great food, great drinks. I'm enjoying a very lovely whiskey mule here.
A whiskey mule, huh? Yeah, what kind of whiskey did you go with?
A little bullet.
Okay.
A little bullet. Okay. Did that for you, Tyler. Come on out. Have yourself a good time. And you got plenty of prizes to win. You can enter the ultimate tailgate. All you got to do is grab that. Use your phone, grab that QR code, and you got a chance to win a $1,000 gift card to Academy Sports and Outdoors and a pair of tickets in the suite coming up a little bit later on. All you got to do, Ultimate Tailgate Party, use that QR code, and you can enter to be the winner of our Ultimate Tailgate Prize. Also, coming up after this segment, we'll be hooking folks up with Academy Sports and Outdoors gift cards. You can win one of those four different ones today. Also, a free oil change, any type of vehicle you have, to Tomball Ford, as well as the big one. You got a chance to win a pair of tickets also as well to the final game of the season against the Colts. We'll do that in the 5 o'clock hour. Just grab a ticket there and put it in our raffle box. Grab a ticket, and you'll have a chance to be a winner. And these glasses. You can grab a commemorative glass. That is on the house. That's of our the best night show in all of Houston Sports Radio, Area 45. You can grab a glass. Win one, or no, you don't have to win that. Just grab that one and have it on the house. There you go, Patrick. Patrick Creighton, he was in there working hard up in the press box, and he's I'm sure, ready to bring it tonight. All right, phone lines are open, and Tyler will get you on 713-572-4610. Listen, the Texans are getting big-time love nationally after last night's game, and why not? The number they did on Josh Allen, as we've talked about, was as impressive as the defensive performance we've seen all season and maybe in a couple of years. But Stephen A. Smith in particular, Clint, said what he learned last night is he believes the Houston Texans can win the AFC because that defense travels to anybody, any quarterback. If they can do that to Josh Allen, they can do that to anybody. They can win the AFC. As I said, phone lines, I want to hear. I'm going to get to you, Dave, Gil, Kevin, Northside D. I'm going to get to you, and the phone lines are open. Tyler will get you set up. I want to hear. When you hear – that from Stephen A., when you hear what I see last night is the Texans can win the AFC, where does that sit with you?
I think it's a little aggressive. I think it's really aggressive.
You slid up that little, huh?
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, you got six games to go, and you got teams that are three games ahead of you that aren't on your schedule. I mean, that's winning the AFC. Did he mean winning the AFC championship or winning the AFC record-wise?
Winning the AFC championship.
Oh,
winning
okay.
The AFC,
oh. Yeah, that's still, either way, it's still a little aggressive for me. I think you know, as you know, you guys were talking in the crosstalk. I'm more in the way of like, can we get a little bit of help from the better teams in the league, and can we just focus on getting the playoffs right now? I can't go out on a limb and say win the AFC.
When you get in there, yeah, I mean, it was an impressive performance, and that defense will always keep you in games. But I'm with you. I thought, ooh, wow, that was aggressive. But I'll tell you, nobody flinched at the set. Dan and all of them, nobody flinched at the set. Dan said nobody wants to see this defense, which is a fair thing. Let's go to you, all right? A day like this, the biggest win, arguably regular season win of the D'Amico Ryans era. When you hear national people say things like, what I learned last night is the Houston Texans can win the AFC. Your thoughts on that? Let's start with you, Dave. Dave, what's your thoughts? Is that what you felt when you watched them play last night and beat Buffalo?
Yes, I did. I want to give a shout out to my man Tyler for putting me on here. I really appreciate that very much. And when the Texans were 0-3 this season, they didn't get no respect. Just like Ryan and Dave, the Texans was 0-3, they didn't get no respect. Now, all of a sudden, after last night, they're getting respect from the NFL nation. And as far as Stephen A. is concerned, I don't believe what Stephen A. says. I don't believe half of what Stephen A. Smith says in the first place. I don't watch that show on ESPN.
Well, clearly you believe what he said. You just agreed with him.
I did. But to get to his point, I agree with him.
Oh, okay.
And people that watch that show, they don't think for themselves.
I watch that show.
The people that I know.
Yeah, I watch that show. I think for myself. I appreciate the call, Dave. You agree with him. You like him when he talks well about your Texans. All right. Do you? That's the thought. Do you get the sense? Well, hell, let me help him out here. Let's take Stephen A. Smith out. Do you agree? There is somebody with a very big voice nationally that said what they learned last night is that the Texans can win the AFC. Gil and Sugarland, your thoughts on when you hear that comment?
Man, show, big shout out to you, L. Dirty, and T. Mill.
Yes, sir.
The only way that we can do it is like our defense has to be like the swarm with Hunter and Will Anderson Jr. and getting them sacks, getting them takeaways. But like the only way that we're really going to win the whole AFC is if we get CJ. We need like the balling out CJ from his rookie year, not the sad in his head, like doubting CJ. We need the confident balling out coming at you, CJ. And if we get that, then yeah, we could win. But if we don't have that, then it ain't going to happen.
All right. Appreciate the call. Look, Clint, I will say this because I do think the offense has got to bring more to the table. And Frank Ross has to get his side together. All right, the Texans can't keep having to overcome special team blunders also as well when their offense seems to struggle at times to score a lot of points. But what he said, though, Clint, is the reason why I can't get with that comment is, are they capable? Yes, it is. This is just a hard way to try to go through three teams to get to a Super Bowl, three good quality playoff teams to depend that your defense is going to go out and play like they did last night. We know they're capable of doing it. They're the best defense in the league. It is just hard when you face, you know, even just look at the top three, and the top three there aren't any of the ones that you think of. But to go through Indy, Denver and the Patriots playing like, all right, our defense they got to create sacks and turnovers. Like, it is not impossible. We just watched them do it to Buffalo, but it's just a really difficult route to take to get to a Super Bowl. And I'm with him. They need their offense, and I think CJ, when he comes back, to ease some of that. And I think CJ obviously has the ability to do that and the weapons – to do that. I'm not saying it would be great, but the weapons to help their defense. But yes, I think this is a tough way to try to win three in a row against quality teams.
Yeah, I mean, look, at 6-5, you know, I think it's fair to have conversations about what if. I think it makes sense. Now they've dug themselves out of a hole, and it's fair to dream big, and it's fair to say what if. And the reality of it is two things. You've got the best defense in football, tried and true. They are going to be an absolute monster for anybody to move the football consistently against and score points. And the AFC is wide open. I mean, the top of the – usually the through the lens of our defense, look at the top of the AFC, right? The only one in the top of the AFC that you say may be able to handle it is Aaron Rodgers.
And I'm not leading a division, yeah.
And who doesn't have but one receiver? Who, you know? So I mean, he's got his problem. I'm just talking about the quarterback mentally himself that can handle what the Texans is going to throw at him. Right? Drake May, super young quarterback. Bo Nix, super young quarterback. Right? I mean, you just keep going down the list of guys that I mean, can these guys handle? Can they actually handle what the Texans? So the AFC being wide open, your defense being championship caliber. And the fact that now you've got above 500, you're sitting at 6-5. There's a lot of hype around what you're doing. I think it's fair to have an open conversation about the what ifs for the Houston Texans. And now I'm not going to say they're going to win the AFC like Stephen A. did.
Yeah, I'm not ready. I'm not ready to get there.
I mean, I can see. I don't agree with him, but I can see the method to the madness. I can see how he has arrived at where he's at.
Yeah, the defense travels. Defense travels like that. And you, when you're able to shut teams down like the Texans have consistently, it travels that way. But you find yourself, Clint, not only in a 23-19 game with the Bills, but you also find yourself in a 16-13 sure. game with the Titans, right? Like that is not an easy way to live because their defense is probably playing a similar fashion in both those games, but. I mean, let's see. Like, let's see how many times that you can pull that off.
I don't doubt that there's look with the return of CJ, with the emergence of Christian Kirk, with them seeming to have figured out some things on the offensive line, Cade Stover getting healthy. You know, there's you got to believe that the thought is this offense is going to continue to get better when you start plugging those pieces in.
Yep.
And at that point in time, maybe you're not as dependent on this great Houston defense, and you can play some level of complementary football. That's where I'm at. That's where I hope. I'm not sitting here going, oh, boy, if they got to go through four playoff-caliber teams like that, that ain't gonna. They're not winning a championship with what we watched yesterday. You know what I mean? They're not going to be able to shut it down. They're not going to be able to start slow and miss a bunch of throws and then shut it down in the second half and win playoff games. I don't think that's going to happen. So
not three in a row.
Yeah, no. I think I got to lean heavily into the offense getting better, and I think it's fair to expect that given what we've seen.
All right, let's head to Kevin, our guy Kevin. Kevin, you think it's crazy to think that the Texans right now are a team that could win the AFC? Go ahead.
Absolutely. Let me preface this by saying that I'm a diehard Texan fan, but what I saw last night, I was so mad at the end of that game. We had 8 sacks, 3 turnovers in Buffalo territory, and we were inches away from losing that game if that guy didn't step out on that pass down.
That's fair.
And this offense, it's not the offense. It's the play caller. The play caller in the second half was horrible. Run the ball, but your run plays have no designs to them. You kept running up in there, straight up the middle. The announcers kept saying, Buffalo's got 10 guys on the line of scrimmage, and you just keep running. It's no way. We were lucky last night. It's no way if you play a good team, you're going to be able to get away with that.
Well, they were a good team, Kevin. That was a good team, Kevin.
Yeah, but look at all the turnovers and the sacks and all that we got. You're not going to get that all the time. And I just felt like we was going to lose the game at any point the whole second half. Because we couldn't move the ball, and then if they would have scored, you was going to ask the offense, that, hey, let's hurry up, get in the motion, get in the groove, and go down and score after you just ran the ball the whole second half.
I got a question for you, yeah. Kevin, and a legit serious question. Who do you think makes that decision? Like, I'm trying to figure out, is that bad play call?
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Calling, or is that bad management?
I think it's, I don't know if it's, I'm going to put it on Kaylee, and I'm not going to say bad play calling. I know a little about football, but I just watch his design of his plays, pass and run. His run plays doesn't have a whole lot of design to him. He doesn't set stuff up to do other things. It's like he's just all over the place all the time. And to be honest with you, if it wasn't for Woody Marks on those two first down run, they were stuck in the backfield because they were just straight at the line of scrimmage. He just did that off of desire. He did it off of desire.
All right, appreciate the call, Kevin. Great call, because he said a couple of things there, Clint, that jumped out to me. And that is, you're at the edge of your seat when you're led by a defense like this, and your offenses, you're at the edge of your seat thinking one play. Like, the amount of plays that a team has to make against you with your offense playing like that, like Josh just needed to make one or two plays. Really one, you're right. One or two plays. Or, you know, hey, man, just kick this field goal. Their offense ain't going to do nothing. And that is the nervous part is, damn it, you feel like you're winning and you're holding on this way, but it's one slip, one miss, and you just don't have a lot of margin for error in these games when you're led this way. All right. We'll get you in at some point, Northside D. We appreciate you calling in. This is as much a day for you all as it is for us. Let's get our Man Eye Institute players of the game. A lot of opportunities, a lot of guys out there as the Texans get their biggest win of the season. You can text in, what is your Man Eye Institute player of the game? We'll do that coming up next.
Live from Walk On Sports Bistro and Katy, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we're live here at Walk Ons here in Katy. And it's a good time, a little Football Friday action, and you can be a winner. We has just hooked our first winner up with a gift card to Academy Sports and Outdoors. You got a chance to be a winner throughout the day, so come on out. Walk-ons here in Katy. It's a good time. Friday, I know people are about to be getting off work here soon. This is a great, great space to kick things off. So come on out here to Walk-ons here in Katy. Let's do it now. Let's look at our Man Eye Institute players of the game. You can text yours in. Who was the player of the game for you? In a win like this, there are, I think, several places to go. Who are your players of the game? Clint, let's kick it with you. Who's your Man Eye Institute player of the game?
Look, I think it's one guy and one guy only. He was on the post-game show with us. He joined us, Will Anderson Jr. I mean, not only were the individual plays that he made absolutely tremendous, but he also beat their quarterback up on a couple of plays that were not actual sacks. You know, you're talking about a guy that I think he tied a record. A sack in 6 straight games is I think he tied with Mario Williams.
Yep, 6 straight games, yep.
And so not only is he setting records, but he's got 10.5 sacks right now. He's number 4 in the entire NFL, and when he's opposite that number 55, and they are wrecking shop the way that they, the way they're wrecking shop, they're an absolute problem. So I got to go with Will Anderson Jr.
Yeah, Will Anderson Jr. He's playing lights out, man. Dude is insane. I heard him on the post game show, which you heard Sean and Seth play it earlier today. He was fantastic. My man said he's gonna go home, sit on the couch. He do look like he fish.
Maybe doing a little fishing.
He do look like he fishes. All right. Will Anderson's a good one. Text line 713-572-4610. You can text in who your players of the game. Someone text in Higgins, Jalen Higgins. Called him a touchdown pass. And not just called him a touchdown pass. As you said, Clint, he also probably could have had 70, 80, 100 yards, to be honest with you. There were points where he was open. And I'll say this. Hey, man, we got to work on that toe tap, Jack. There's probably about two times where you were on the sideline. He caught the one in the fourth quarter, but there were two other catches. Another one in the end zone.
Yeah.
That he, if he drags his foot, he's in bounds and could be other big plays. So, but Jalen Higgins, that's another good one there from the text line. I'm gonna go with Woody Marks. That's a weird one. Woody Marks had 75 yards rushing, but and our guy Kevin spoke about this, who we were just talking to. Woody Marks saved the offensive line Nick Caley's ass multiple times. There were, I think, a couple fourth downs where he is stopped dead behind the line. I mean, multiple yards behind the line of scrimmage. And, oh, Taron Johnson, number 7, went for a ride on multiple occasions. He took his ass and drug them on. I mean, that could have been killers. Those drives ended in points, and he was big. And then early in the game, he was really, really good. I agree with Kevin a little bit. If they were going to run the football, maybe some of the more creative runs they had earlier, getting him to the outside a little bit earlier. But I thought his toughness and him just refusing to go down was big in this game. And I think it's clear now, Clint. This is three straight games where he is clearly the guy that they are using as their number one back. The discrepancy is large between him and Nick Chubb right now. And Clint, they don't even use Nick Chubb for short yardage. It's him. Yeah. That's who they're using. So Woody Marks, I thought those were huge short down, short yardage runs that he made, dragging people and making plays when the play wasn't drawn up correctly,
well, look,
or blocked correctly.
On a night when you were 2 for 12, I believe, on third down conversions,
yep.
I mean, you needed the two you got, and Woody Marks, to your point, was tremendous. I thought when the second drive came around and Nick Chubb was out there for three straight carries and we got a first down, it was one of those things where it's like, okay, Nick may be a bigger part of this game plan than what we've seen the last 2 weeks. And then they went right back to Woody Marks, which I'm here for. And I think.
Yeah, we've been saying it.
But I think your point that you're making is really the most important one. We can all see that, hey, man, he catches the ball out of the backfield better than anybody else. You can all see there's a different level of twitch there to be able to catch a screen or catch the ball out of the backfield. He's clearly a dual threat kind of thing. You can see all that. But really what I think turns DeMeco and Nick Caley on is what you just said. Hey, man, it's 1-on-1 in the hole. It's 3rd and 1. You're hit, or you're at least in the sights 2 yards deep. You find a way to sidestep a guy, lean forward for a first down. If you can do that, you can play a long time in this league. Now, it's nice if you can catch it. It's nice if you can hit your head on a goalpost. All those things are nice. But if you can take third down situations, be hit or contacted 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage and still go get to, that's a huge plus.
There were two fourth downs that he was hit well behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. That's just one of those things where we've been talking about it for a month now, 2 months now on this show. It's like, I mean, I just don't know. There's no facet of the game where Woody Marks is not the guy that needs to be in the backfield more than everybody else. And it's good to see the last 3 weeks to a month they've arrived there.
And by the way, that ain't Derrick Henry. Right, like that's like that ain't no huge. He's 205 pounds.
Yeah,
right, and dragging folks. All right, Tyler, who is your Man Eye Institute player of the game?
I got to go with the fella that Will Anderson Jr. said they call Ball Hawk, Kalen Bullock. Two interceptions, a forced fumble, 5 tackles, 2 passes defended. He was outstanding, along with obviously the whole defensive unit. But yeah, I'm gonna rock with Bullock this week.
Good to see him back Good to see him back in that role of getting turnovers, man. You know, we come into the season, he's kind of quiet. I remember you asking him about it. He's a little quiet.
Oh, I thought he had a chance to lead the league in interceptions.
Yeah. Well, he's rolling now, man. That was a monster game last night. When they're creating chaos around the quarterback, and those guys make any level of errant throw where the ball hangs in the air for a while, Bullock can go get it now.
Hey, and then he goes and punches the ball out from Shakur.
Yeah.
By the way, maybe look him. Can he catch punt?
Who, Bullock?
Because that run back was impressive. My man was, obviously the settle, or I'm not settle, I'm sorry, I don't want to get the wrong person. Barnett blocking the back negated it, but he looked like he'd done that before.
Yeah, it was impressive. I'm sure he has. He probably played a little offense in his
probably
background.
Probably played a little offense in his day. Yeah, man. No, man, those guys were great. Bullock was something else. Text line coming in, Davis Mills. He followed the rules, did no harm, no turnovers. Fairbairn was the MVP. He put up some points. Someone else, Cornbread, text in Trent Brown. Somebody you like. Yeah, I mean, listen, Bosa gave him some trouble sometimes, but I think overall throughout the game, Trent Brown, you know, held his own for the most part, right? I think, you know, he when he got his hands on him, kind of shut him down. I think he had a holding penalty there on him, and he got around him a couple of times. But overall, this was not like we talked about all offseason. If they could just be all right. Like this, there was at no point did we look in this game and think, even with Ursary on the other side, there was a couple of times Russo got him. But there was no point that we looked at this and was just like, boy, they can't get nothing done because they can't do anything up front. So, yeah, man, I think Trent Brown was really, really good along with the rest of the offensive line in yesterday's game. All right, coming up as we continue rolling, it is a football Friday, and as we generally do on Fridays, we got a big weekend of college football. Let's look at our Saturday slate. There are some intriguing games this weekend that could affect the college football playoff rankings in multiple games. Let's look at our college football slate. Which games are you watching? We'll do ours coming up next.
It's an Academy Sports and Outdoors Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from Walk-On Sports Bistro and Katy, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in as we're live here on a football Friday. Let me hear the people out here. There we go. Come on, lead them, Steven. You've been here. There we go. Give a hand to our bartenders. They've done, and our waitresses, they've done a great job as well. Please tip them and get you some drinks here on a Friday. Why not get a little loose and get you some good food here? And you, if you're listening, you're on your way. Come on out to Katy. Come on out to Walk-Ons here at Katy. And Katie, and get yourself a chance to win multiple prizes, gift cards, tickets to the Texans Colts game. You got a chance to win many, many items. Come on out here and enjoy yourself. A good time is being had out here. Tyler is struggling, folks. Send him your love, but he's gonna make it. He's tough. Texans get a dub. Tyler's gonna be all right.
Yeah.
Is that truck in the same spot it was in when you left yesterday?
That is correct, sir. Uber fees last night stacked up a little bit, but it's worth
see,
it.
See, Tyler?
Safe, man.
See,
I
Tyler?
Tell you what's more expensive.
I could have helped you, Tyler. I could have scooped your ass up. All you had to do was hit me up. I could have scooped you up.
He told me when he left he wasn't going to call you.
Did he?
Mm-hmm.
That's not true.
Is that what y'all talked about at the elevator?
That's what we were talking about at the elevator. He's,
damn.
He said,
okay.
That's something.
That is not
this terrible. This is almost as bad as
not,
that top.
He
this
said
is,
not with those friends. Those friends this, listen, he had, he didn't.
He didn't think I would mesh?
Yeah,
he
didn't.
I don't like that. That's bull crap, Tyler. I am.
Say virtual. That.
I'm basically like LeBron James of friends. I can fit in any lineup. Right, you need me to be a wingman. I got it. You need me to be the front man. I damn sure got that. You need me to kind of lurk in the weeds, just kind of be that guy, the quiet. I can do it.
You know, I agree with all that.
I'm just saying. So
I'm just saying, man.
Fit.
I forgot.
I'm a friend's Swiss Army knife.
I didn't intentionally not hit you up. I did honestly didn't think it was an actual thing or that you would ever actually come out and hang out and meet up for drinks.
That is completely unfair because I don't have a track record of never coming out. I have come out with you. I have multiple times gone out with you.
On like a year streak, though.
Well, it could have ended. I could have drove you.
I was blacked out, man.
You didn't have – well, okay, now we're getting to the bottom of it.
Blackout, man.
There would have been no Uber fees. This ain't as bad. I mean, you can't ever say that. It's not as bad as where you left me having to watch the ACC championship game between Louisville and Florida State in the parking lot waiting for you to take me up so we could arrive.
Take karaoke.
to the karaoke party.
Oh, my God. I need all of your thoughts and prayers right now.
Need all of his thoughts and prayers. Well, while we're at it, text in 713-572-4610. What is your college football game of the week? There are many of them. Hit me with that music, Tyler. There it is. Intriguing games this week. This is that week where half the SEC just plays nobodies. I think A&M's got Samford. Georgia's got Charlotte or something like that. But there is a big one there. Now that OU, who's now number 8 in the college football poll, they host Missouri. OU is in a position, if they win their final two games, which they will be favored in at home, they should get a spot in the college football playoff. That is a big game. USC in Oregon, a number 15 USC, goes to Autzen Stadium in Eugene to take on Oregon in a 15-7 matchup. Tennessee at Florida. Florida has been tricky this year, right? They beat Texas. They gave Georgia hell. So this will be an interesting one for Tennessee. I want to get to this Michigan-Maryland game. That's not actually the game I'm going to pick, but I do have some thoughts on that. So there's some intriguing games. Someone texted in BYU. They've got a big one this weekend. Who does BYU play? You just said BYU has a big one this weekend that you're looking at.
Is it Utah? I don't know. I don't have BYU schedule memorized.
Anyway, who does? Is there a game you're looking at? Is it this easy one? Is it the game that you're going to be attending?
Absolutely. I will be attending. I'll be attending the Arkansas Razorbacks University of Texas Longhorns game Saturday afternoon at 2:30. I will be there with my bride. She is a Longhorn. I am clearly an Arkansas Razorback.
You think this is a game? Has a chance to be a game?
I think it's got a real chance to be a game. I'm walking in there with nothing to lose. With Bobby Petrino and Taylen Green. You know, I think there's a chance we could shock the world. Now, we may lose by 40, but I think there's a chance that we could shock the world. All joking aside, you know, when you got Bobby Petrino and you've got Taylen Green, anything can happen. There's a lot of off-script, off-schedule stuff Taylen does, and Bobby's as good as anybody on the ones and twos calling plays in college football. So anything can happen. Now, our defense will probably give up 40-plus. Arch Manning will probably have a great day. I don't know what his numbers look like, what the prop bets are on him. I'd take every single one of them in this particular game. But, look, Texas has got to be perfect, and Texas has got to be dominant the rest of the way if they have a puncher's chance of getting in somehow, some way. I don't think it's going to happen. I'd like to know what the percentages are. I bet it's single digit. They've got to be dominant.
I don't see it, Clint.
What?
That Texas, you said that.
A three-win team ever getting in?
Not this year. Not Texas.
There's a lot of football left to be played, so we'll see. I don't know. I don't know exactly.
They would have great wins. They would have A&M, Vandy, and OU, right? They beat those. Yeah. They'd have those three wins. But there's going to be a lot of teams that have two losses.
It's going to take chaos at the top, which is not crazy the last couple of weeks of the season. We'll see. It's clearly a long shot. My point is you're motivating these guys to be perfect and to be dominant, and it starts with Arkansas. They can be dominant over Arkansas, but Arkansas can also walk in there and shock.
I think it definitely has a chance to be a game, just because whenever you're dealing with a team that can score, it's always Arkansas can score. Like, Arkansas's got some losses in the 30s and 40s, don't they?
Absolutely.
This year, so if you're dealing with a team that struggles to score, you feel a little bit better. But you got a team where, like, hey man, it's not out of the and Texas defense is really, really good. It's not out of the equation that we're sitting here in the third quarter and they got 28 points.
Yeah. No, it could happen. I'm not betting on it, but it could happen. So that's the game I'm looking at right there. I win either way, because my bride's going to leave happy, or I'm going to leave happy. One of us is going to be smiling on the way home.
When this happens, because I do want to get – when this happens, if Texas wins, does she talk trash?
No.
And if Arkansas wins, do you – I know you don't. I know you just sit there.
Her and I are a lot alike when it comes to responding to wins and success.
Just a.
Just keep it moving, baby. Act like you've been there before.
You've been there.
But yeah, to be honest with you, though, since we've been together and we've been married, we've attended several Texas games, and I'll be honest with you, my winning percentage is pretty high. So, you know, I don't know. It starts January 1, 2000, when I personally put a foot in that ass.
And okay. then right. when we announced, personally put one in before
yeah,
you.
Yeah, and then when we announced that we were pregnant with our first little girl, I was on the sideline in Arkansas, Texas, and, boy, Texas really stomped the mud hole in them right there. I mean, Arkansas really stomped the mud hole in them right there. So,
all right, I want to get to my game. My game is USC-Oregon, but I want to start with Michigan-Maryland because you brought this up with Texas. Now, I don't think it's realistic with Texas, but I do think what you're talking about is realistic with Michigan. If Michigan beats Ohio State at home, if Michigan beats Maryland and they get to 9-2, and they beat Ohio State at home, they got one Big Ten loss. You talked about Texas and that brand. We know Michigan has a pretty large brand too. If Michigan, who would then jump Ohio State to play in the Big Ten title game, if Michigan is sitting there at, what would they be, 10-2 with a win over Ohio State, does that team get kept out?
Well, they wouldn't jump into the title game, would they?
Well, I mean, they would have one loss with Ohio. They would jump Ohio State in the title game. They would both have one loss in the Big Ten. Mm. And they could potentially play for it. Or I know Indiana has one loss, and I think Oregon, if Oregon were to go on and win, maybe that gets in their way. But they would be 10-2 with a win over number one Ohio State. Who keeps them out? They're not having a lot of conversation. They're sitting at 18 right now. But if in the next 2 weeks they beat number one Ohio State.
There's a lot of two loss football teams right now.
Nobody would have a better win
than
that.
There's right now there's four or five two loss football teams that are in. It's not crazy to think that two or three or four of those teams end up with three losses. It's not crazy. No. And a three loss team gets in.
Yeah,
or maybe. An 18 jumps from 18 to 12.
Yeah, I mean, it's Michigan. Like if Michigan and they got Ohio State at home, if I don't think they're going to do it, but if Underwood went crazy or something against Michigan or against Ohio State, and they're 10-2 with a win over number one Ohio State, I find it hard for them to be potentially left out. But this is a big one to me for USC and Oregon. USC Oregon. This is a big one. USC could then take a big step. I don't know how good Oregon is, to be honest with you. They lost at home to Indiana. We thought the Penn State win was a big win until we found out who Penn State was. So I'm not real sure how good Oregon is, but they've been sitting there at that seventh spot. They almost lost to Iowa a couple weeks back. So this will be a big game, and obviously Lincoln Riley, this is a huge game for him because he can get into the playoff race if they get a dub. So I think that may be the game of the weekend in the Big Ten, USC and Oregon, which are really Pac-12 teams that are playing in the Big Ten. What you got coming up?
It's easy, man. H-Town, Thursday night football was more than just a sixth win, right? This is precisely where we needed to be, where we hoped to be when we hired D'Amico Rines. We'll explain next right here on Sports Radio 610.